Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Turn to dirt and I will change to stone. Into blue.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. It's our series of live in-studio performances streaming on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. The singer, guitarist, songwriter, and painter Marissa Nadler is about to release her eighth album. It's called For My Crimes. That's a title that works well with the noirish leanings of many of her songs. Most of her albums have a lush, almost electronic feel to them, and she has a voice that invites you to lean in. But she's also capable of playing some of her songs in a solo setting, and that's what she'll do for us once again as she rejoins us in our New York studio for this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast. We'll begin with the title track from Marissa Nadler's new album, For My Crimes.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Take me down the corridor to secure my wrists with ties. I'll be tracing the outline of your body next to mine. I've done terrible things, cold and careless lies. You can watch behind the glasses I pass through serpentine. But please don't remember.
Thank you.
That's Marissa Nadler, live here in our studio with the title track of her forthcoming eighth record called For My Crimes. Marissa, it's good to have you back.
It's really great to be back here.
So on the surface, that is a song about, it's pretty obvious. They're taking this person down the car. They're going to tie his wrists with ties. And, you know, it's a prisoner on death row.
Uh-huh.
If that's all it was, it wouldn't be much of a song. But,
thanks.
You know, the idea that this could be a metaphor for something else, you know. This is the opening track on the record.
Yes.
So it sort of opens the door, perhaps, to the story that unfolds over the rest of the record. Would that be fair to say?
It's absolutely fair to say. I think that song, the minute that I wrote it, I really understood the wide applications of the theme of guilt and forgiveness, of crimes and punishment. And I'm very interested in the universal reach of music. So I was happy to immediately realize the duality of meaning.
Where in the process of making this record did that song happen? Was that early enough that you thought, oh, now I know what this record is going to be? Or was it sort of later in the process and became like the keystone to the arch, so to speak?
You know, funny enough, of almost half of the songs on this new record were written the week before.
Really?
I mean, I had like maybe 30 demos for this record, but I often work well under pressure. And Justin Raisin, one of the co-producers on this record, gave me a little push/tough love. And from that came the death row assignment. It's a long story, but basically I came out with some of the best and strongest material at the very last minute. So never stop trying.
Yeah. The album has a little bit of a different sound. Your voice has probably never been so, can't think of another word, naked, I was going to say, you know, not clothed in layers of reverb as we've heard from you in the past.
Yes.
Presumably your decision, but, you know, you did have co-producers. How did that, what was the idea there?
I felt really excited about the songs and I wanted people to actually hear them. And I mean, I've been doing this long enough to know and have read enough about people saying it's removed or really wanted these to cut to people's hearts. And it has to do with age and with confidence too. I think my voice has matured and I wanted to show people a new side of me.
Now, you know, in the old days, you had two kinds of singers. You had crooners and you had belters. I guess I can guess which side of that divide you
definitely a crooner. I mean, you know, there was a time when I could belt it out. And I think after this record, maybe I'll make my heaviest one. So, and we'll see if I can scream.
So you've been working on your black metal growl.
You know, funny enough, I have quite a bit of black metal crossover.
Right.
But they usually want pretty vocals. So to contrast with the darkness.
Yeah.
So my growl left me when I was about 16, never came back.
Okay. You have so many different kind of musical streams flowing into what you do. The folk music is obvious when you're in this kind of stripped down setting, you know, where we hear your fingers on the strings. Where did the metal come? How did that happen?
I think that the dark lyrical content of my music leads it to appeal to people that may not like acoustic music. I mean, I try to avoid genre pigeonholing because it's so limiting as an artist. And I think evolution is one of the most important things for a lifer like myself. So I am happy about that because I feel like I was always kind of a weirdo and I can... Those are kind of my people.
Yeah.
I don't wear color for about 20 years.
So the album also features a number of guests on the song you just did. Angel Olsen sings with you on the record. Sharon Van Etten is on the album. A wonderful harp player and composer named Mary Lattimore is on the record. They're all women.
Yes.
That seems to have been intentional as well.
It was a conscious decision to, ask women. I wasn't conscious about being exclusionary towards men, but I definitely knew this was going to be a stripped-down record. And initially, I just wanted to make sure that I was playing guitar and you could hear it, because I was really wanting it to have a personal feel. And then I can do harmonies. Like, I've done a lot of my own harmonies on all these records, so I wanted to just try something new. And Justin and Lawrence just gave me the push to reach out to my friends and say, why don't you just ask them? Because I'm a little shy. So it worked out well.
Yeah. So we're talking about the new album from Marissa Nadler, which comes out on September 28th, on Friday, called For My Crimes. And the cover art is a painting by you, which, like some of your songs, makes you think you know what it is, but the closer you look, the less confident you are in what you thought it was. At least that's the experience I had.
Yeah, it's an impressionistic landscape, but it is very abstracted. I only recently started oil painting again after a long period of mostly just animating, drawing, and mostly just focusing on music.
Yeah. You went to RISD, right?
I did.
Rhode Island School of Design,
mm-hmm.
Which has been, over the years, an incubator of visual artists, of course, but also a surprising number of musicians,
yeah.
Beginning with Talking Heads back in the 70s. So when you were there, were you pursuing music already, even while you were studying the visual arts?
I was, and I think that the pressure of that school kind of had a lot to do with me getting more serious about music, because I was getting graded and critiqued on something that was so personal to me that I needed an outlet that was purely joyful. Funny for me to describe my music as joyful, but I was playing open mic nights in Providence and hanging out a little at parties at Fort Thunder, because Lightning, well, Providence is a great town for artists, and it's an affordable city, and it still has a fond place in my heart. Yeah.
Why can't you listen to Gene Clark anymore? Why can't the person in this song listen?
If you listen to the rest of the phrase, it's kind of a trick title, because in the song it's without you anymore. Mm. So it is drawing from a tradition of songwriting. I mean, in the same vein as a song like I Get Along Without You Very Well.
Mm-hmm.
I think anybody can relate to having a musician or a song that they just cannot bear to listen to, not because they don't like it anymore, but because it brings them memories that they maybe don't want to experience.
Right.
Yeah. And so Gene Clark for me could be Madonna for somebody else, but
right.
You know.
So this is the evil twin of Please, Mr. Please.
Yeah.
another song about not being able to hear a specific piece of music because it reminds you of someone else.
Yeah.
Let's hear Marissa Nadler performing live.
It's getting harder to soothe you from afar. It's getting harder to run. Poppy red Arizona, deep desert sun. We moved with the stars. Picking me flowers, rose. but I'm done with lying and then wishing and crying. The moonbeams are blinded.
Marissa Nadler, I Can't Listen to Jean Clark Anymore is a song from her forthcoming album, For My Crimes, which will have you out on the road again, Marissa. You'll be back here in New York on December 6th playing at Rough Trade. That song, as you mentioned, you know, there's a long history of songs about music, about bands, about figures that you can't listen to because they remind you of someone. And there's another song on the record, and in fact, you'll be playing it for us in just a moment, where a car seems to occupy that that spot, you know? Said goodbye to that car, where we even get the odometer reading at the point at which the car breaks down and you have to say goodbye to it. So it seems like if it's not a breakup album, it's kind of a prelude to a breakup album.
Dear. Well, without getting in, delving too much into that aspect of my life, I will say the car song is one of my favorites on the record. And, you know, I obviously chose these particular songs because I'm alone here. And so I cut the string section part out of Jean Clark just now. And you'll have to listen to the record for the juicier version. But I really associate cars with eras, because they last for, you know, a good 5 years or 10. I mean, depending on what you do for a living. In my case, I burned through that car pretty quickly because driving around for almost, I can't even remember how long, really, touring. And it really, when the car died, it definitely felt like a end of an era for me. And I think also people can hopefully relate to that. I love driving, and I love open roads, so I've had a lot of songs about driving. But
well, I mean, it's useful that you like driving since you are a touring musician and find yourself on the road so much.
It's very meditative.
Yeah,
you know, it can be. Not the Boston to New York drive, though.
No.
That is the worst drive in the United States, I think.
New York to Washington is also not a...
I'm doing that next week. I'm going to practice with Janelle Lapine, the cello player.
And on the record.
Yeah, we got to practice for a couple things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to drive from Boston to D.C.
Oof.
But I need some recommendations. People can email me some stuff to listen to.
Take a train would be my recommendation.
Maybe. That's a good idea.
So there are these themes that recur in the album, as you mentioned before, guilt and forgiveness, you know, the feeling of things spinning apart. There's a song called Lover, Release Me, which actually... I think if you did that song for us, we'd probably think, oh, that's a country song.
Oh, and
it almost sounds like, you know, there's a country song wanting to get out there.
I have a lot of country crooners that have, I've been, you know, listening to a lot of Sammy Smith and Tammy Wynette the past 5 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I discovered old-time country music late in life because I'm from Massachusetts, and I grew up in the grunge era in the 90s, so I just didn't really know how good it could be.
Right. And it's funny because, you know, I sort of had the same kind of response to country music growing up, which was the stuff I heard on the radio did nothing for me. And it wasn't till, you know, I began to hear like Lefty Frizzell and the real kind of country stuff, that I realized, oh, that's why they say three chords in The Truth.
You exactly. Know? And I mean, those vocalists just really reached me. And I think you can very much hear the change in my music from my early years when I really was just a kid to now. I mean, there is something to be said about having to live in order to sing. And I think my earliest records, maybe the themes weren't as relatable because I didn't have the life experiences, maybe. So they were all mythical and make-believe.
Right.
Anyway, country music is great. So yeah, there is a little bit of that too. Black metal country.
So Said Goodbye to That Car is the name of this song. Mm-hmm. And it is, as you say, you know, it there's no reason for this to be seen as a journalism, you know, a diary, you know, of your life. But the fact that you have had more life experience and more, you know, and that comes out in the music, it adds kind of to the layering, the nuance that we hear in the song. You want to play it for us?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I do. And, you know, I'm going to go for it here.
All right.
Okay.
Marissa Nadler, the album is called For My Crimes. This song is called Said Goodbye to That Car.
Said goodbye to that car that took a bullet in the roof in New Haven, that saw our sad estrangement idling there on the pavement. 119657 in the engine. 6 5 7 and I thought of you. Said goodbye to that car in the cul-de-sac. Said goodbye to that car. Took the plates off the back.
Marissa Nadler. The album's called For My Crimes, and that's called Said Goodbye to That Car. I do need to point out, especially given the title of the album, that abandoning a car and just taking the plates off and leaving it, even if it's in a cul-de-sac in New Haven, is in fact a crime.
Very, very good point.
So did you in fact abandon a car somewhere?
No, so the car, it's like a bunch of different memories in a nonlinear way.
Okay.
So the bullet, I was on tour with Janelle and when
the cellist,
the cello player, she's going to be happy to hear about this bullet incident. And when, you know, I dropped her off at the train station in New Haven, and, you know, when I got home, they're like, it's a long story. I'll make it short. There's a bullet hole in my roof and a bullet in the back seat. Like,
well, now, wait a minute.
Absolutely.
Now I need to hear.
So it doesn't, we don't even know if it was in Boston or New Haven, but, you know, people in songs, you take liberties. And
So do you know how the bullet holes got in your car?
No, I don't. I think that when I dropped her off in New Haven, I walked her to the train like a lady, you know, uh-huh. and left my car there. It could have probably happened when I, like, in that 5 minutes or something that I was gone. And, you know, the car died a different day. The bullet went through the roof, and then the odometer clocked out at 119657. And that was later, but it's all these different memories that I have associated with the car.
Holy cow.
On the record, you know, there's that great Beatles-y line, but it's cool to hear it in the bare bones version too. It's different because I had I dropped up to the high harmony for like a mini second, but because there's like so many vocal layers that I do on that,
yeah.
you know.
And again, when played in this fashion, just you and the guitar, you begin to hear sort of the Americana, the roots mm-hmm. of the guitar playing. I mean, did you grow up playing kind of folk or, you know, blues, or what was your experience, your early experience of playing guitar?
It was like early on, my brother, Stuart, who is a writer, he was cool. He was the cool older brother. So he basically taught me my first chords. I'm actually a lefty and I play righty guitar. So mm-hmm. that was my first mistake. But I was really into listening to classic rock. And at first, because my parents were hippies and grew up on like prog rock. And Jethro Tull, Procol Harum was my first concert ever.
Wow.
But then I got into like folk and blues and stuff in high school after, because my mom helped me. She didn't want to hear the grunge anymore because I was deep. I was really screaming, and she bought me a couple records that really changed my life.
Like what?
Okay, well, I still love Courtney Love, and I love Hole, mm-hmm. and so much so that I was psyched to have the drummer of Hole, Patty Schemmel, play on this record, which was mind-blowing for me. But in high school, my mom, I was all really like emotionally, you know, going through that phase. And she was like worried. So she said, why don't you listen to some more like a prettier music? And she said, go buy Carole King Tapestry, Joni Mitchell Blue. Mm. And I had a boyfriend that said, go get Black Sabbath. There was a lot of different influences coming in, which is kind of why there's a lot.
Yeah.
But Joni, really, she's a great musician for young women to look up to.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Someone who made her own way and who is also, in her quiet way, a stunning virtuoso guitar player.
Yes.
And all those tunings that she developed and stuff. I noticed you did a little bit of retuning during our little mm-hmm. set here today. So you'll be out on the road again supporting the new record back here in New York December 6th at Rough Trade in Brooklyn. The album's called For My Crimes, the 8th, the latest from Marissa Nadler. It comes out on Friday the 28th. And Marissa, it's been great seeing you again. Thank
it's
you so much.
It's been great to see you too. Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
This is Soundcheck.
Are you really gonna move?
That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.